Round one was over. Parents won. Kids sip.
I only hope that we never lose sight of one thing. That was all started by a mouse.
Did we just become best friends?
Yep!
Gentlemen, start your engine!
To infinity and beyond!
There's a touch of madness around here.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to DDP Today, a show that's a little about us, a lot about Disney, and fun for the whole family. My name is Justin, and today I'm joined by a couple of my buddies. I'm going to go around the table, see how everybody's week is going before we get into this awesome topic. I'm going to start with my buddy that's just a little north of me up here, the great Mr. Mike. How are you, man?
I'm doing good. I know most people dread Sunday nights because their work night starts and then, you know, it's back to school, back to the grind, back to work. But today is like my Friday because I'm off the next couple of days. So I had a long week of work. I'm off Monday and Tuesday. So I'm very excited to be here recording tonight. It's kind of nice to be able to, you know, record with no pressure of having to get to bed early, get up early, hit the grind. That hour of sleep really killed me last night. And Kyle's got me on a running program and I've been running pretty much morning times consistently. And I usually get up around like 2:45, 2:50 before I get my run in the morning. So stupid me set my alarm clock for 2:50. And I always set my backup alarm clock for the time I actually have to be at work in case I sleep through the original alarm clock. And forgetting that 2 o'clock, I knew the clocks go ahead, but forgetting that 2 o'clock becomes 3 o'clock. So there is no 2:50 in the morning. So even though my alarm clock was set for 2:50, it didn't go off till 3:45 when I had to be, you know, get ready for work regularly. So I had to scramble a little bit this morning. I was able to get off to work. But when I got home from work today, I was able to get my run in. So I did not miss my run. I sent my progress to Kyle. So I don't want Kyle to be upset with me. Got my run in. I'm good. And I definitely want to make up for that hour of sleep. And I'm glad I get to do that tomorrow. But it's like I got a couple of days off. So I'm very excited for that.
Yeah, I got the UFC fight last night and I was trying to stay up and I got to watch the last fight. And all of a sudden I watched the clock go from 2 to 3 and I'm like, whoa, it's late. Well, let's check in on our other brother who's here tonight. The great, the one, the powerful, the only Aussie Dave. What's up, dude?
Hey, mate. How are you?
I'm good, man. Good.
Good. It's been a little while since I've been around. I literally got a text message the other day from somebody saying, I haven't heard your voice in a while and just wanted to check that you were like, okay, and still alive. And I was like, yeah, I've been on for a little bit. So excited to be joining in. And yeah, I also enjoy daylight saving. Like, I'm glad we've gone back to it. Like, but yeah, I just don't understand the switch. And
no,
I still think the switch is just there to mess with parents.
Well, you know, the premise originally was for farmers. So that way, whenever right. It came to harvest, they had more daylight to harvest.
And
but I'm also
I both love National Treasure. So we know that it was Benjamin Franklin. It's fine.
Yes. I watched it
knew
this
exactly
afternoon,
what you're
I watched it this afternoon. I had it on for a little napperoo. I loved it. Because Katie falls asleep by the Charlotte every single time. She was like, I couldn't sleep. So I'm like, National Treasure, and she's out like a light by the time it gets to Charlotte. So awesome, man. Well, I know lots of stuff going on, new job, right?
Yeah. It's part of the reason I haven't been around. So back in January, I think it was the last time I was on an episode, and I'd been working over at Planet Hollywood, and in the middle of all of that, I had a job that I'd previously interviewed that had kind of gone dormant come back to me and be like, yeah, we didn't push ahead because of the holidays were crazy and all of that. And we just kind of let it lie. But now that all of that is out of the way, we're looking to fill a position that you interviewed for. And do you want it? I'd already made it basically to the final step. So, which is really cool. So I'm actually now working for Hilton and I am the manager of training and development, and quality assurance at the Waldorf Astoria and Signia by Hilton located in Bonnet Creek. And I'm very excited to be doing it.
It's fancy schmancy, yeah. Man.
So, I'm basically leading their, team on and pushing ahead with some customer service and training stuff and all of that to bring them up. And our goal right now is actually, we've got an assessment later in the year to see if we could potentially be a 5-star hotel registered with Forbes, which would make us the first in the Orlando area, which is kind of a big deal.
You think Mike Hill let us come visit him at work?
I was about to say, I could say I know a guy. I got a guy. If I need a room, you know, which is pretty good.
I actually, no, well, I would love to. But as part of like working there, I've now already got both of you trespassed just without your information.
Let's say that's probably a wise decision. Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah, we walk in like Cousin Eddie, you know, coming in to see Dave, you know, with our white shoes and all that stuff.
Into the middle of the Waldorf Astoria. Yeah, beautiful. No big deal. It's fine. So,
well, boys, let's jump in.
Actually, really quickly. Because of the quote-unquote small world that is this place, I was sending an email. I haven't even told him, but I sent in an email about a week ago, and I was typing email addresses in, and one of the options came up with Mike and his last name. At Hilton.com. And I went, he doesn't work for Hilton. And, literally had your first name dot your last name as an email address come up within the. So there's apparently another person with your name out there.
I wonder if it's the kid that used to work over at Hollywood Studios, the Mike Stolfi that worked.
I remember that dude.
Because there was a Mike Stolfi that worked over in Hollywood
He worked at Tower Terror. Universal. Didn't he?
Universal Studios. He was over in
that's
Harry
right.
Potter.
Yes,
he was. He was a Universal Studios employee.
Remember, I sent you pictures of him.
Yes, I think it was you and Rick were with him maybe and took a picture of his name tag, and it was my name on his name tag, and it was same
crazy.
First name with him. Yeah, and that's not a very popular name, obviously.
I don't know, but yeah, Michael Dot. And I was like, interesting. All right, cool. And so maybe I'll just have to cold email him and be like, let's ask about where you've worked previously. So, but yeah.
Have you ever looked up your names, like Google yourself, just to see the other people who have your name and see like what they do? Like, I've done it many times. Like, there's a lot of Justin Suitors out there.
Really?
There's only one.
Yeah. No, okay. Stop it, you.
I got a weird story about this really quickly. So my name is David Griffiths, and in Wales, both of my names are of Welsh origin, and in Wales, David Griffiths is actually like John Smith. It's a super common name. Like my last name is a Welsh word that means king. Saint David is the patron saint of Wales. Like, so whenever I meet a Welshman, I'm like, yeah, my name is David Griffiths. And they go, oh, like, it's a big thing. Like, yeah, it's just a very generic Welsh name. So there's a lot of me around. The thing that really grinds my gears, if I can steal that terminology for a moment, is there's another Aussie Dave on social media. And it's why I'm that Aussie Dave on Instagram, because Aussie Dave, just Aussie Dave on Instagram, is a creature with like an evangelical kind of, yeah, look it up. He's like we love Jesus kind of slaying in the spirit kind of evangelical thing. And I'm like, oh yeah, I am definitely not that guy.
Like, look up here. Like, I'm looking at myself right now. I am the. I am like the third Justin Suitor that comes up. Here's the thing. Maybe I missed my calling because it's all. We're all in sales. Like, one's a real estate agent, another's a sales associate. Yeah, I don't know, man. It's like, yeah, I want to meet these people. I want to see what's up. You know,
Dr. Michael Stolfi.
Mike's Googling himself right now. Right now, pick up your phone, Google yourself. Let us know where you stand. Well, I'll tell you what. Let's jump into the topic.
Yeah, let's actually do that. Yeah,
we got a good topic tonight. Lots of fun. Listen, Walt Disney World is full of attractions, full of different types of attractions. And you know that we like to pit those attractions against each other and see what comes out on top of the best attraction in that category at Walt Disney World. And tonight, we are taking on the water rides of Walt Disney World. There's actually more than you probably think if you sit down and really work through it. There are 10 water-based attractions at Walt Disney World with a ride system there. And we are going to rank them from worst to best. Now, let me explain how we did this, because although the three of us are here, actually all five of us have a say in this tonight. And the way we did this is I had each of you guys send me your list ranking the best to worst. What I did is I took your best and I gave it a 10-point value. Your second best got a 9-point, third best got an 8-point, and then I went down through, okay? And then what I did was I added up all five of the host list with the attraction and gave a final point total to the attractions. The highest point total, of course, is going to be our best. The lowest is going to be our worst. I will tell you those point values just to give you an idea of where they stand, and then we are going to chat a little bit about why we think they are where they are. Let's start with number 10. Dave, this was a no-brainer. This one came in at number 10, and it was not even close. And that is, coming in at number 10, Cali River Rapids with 10 points total between five hosts.
Wow. Yeah. I think this was definitely way down the bottom of my list. I think I contributed at maybe two of those 10 points. So I mean, Cali is a great way to cool off in the heat that is Animal Kingdom theme park, but they did away with like half of the storyline during a refurb at one point. And so now it feels a little disjointed if you've been on it recently. And it's not a very long ride. Like, it's only, assuming you don't get stuck and evacuated off it, it's only like a 3 or 4 minute ride. And is it exhilarating? Yeah. Is it the funnest ride that has ever been built? Definitely not. So yeah. I'm quite okay with this having beat out whatever I put as my 10th. And this one coming in the bottom, yeah, it was definitely a battle for who could care less, if we're going to quote Blink-182.
10 points, it was by far the lowest.
Was it Green Day? I think it's Green Day.
Green Day, yeah. By far the lowest. Mike, you actually gave this the highest score, giving it 3 points with yours. This is one of those that, you know, we've talked about, I think we talked about it on a previous show not too long ago, that they could really redo this and put in live animals, kind of have it just a ride through, you know, almost like the safari, but on water. It needs something, Mike.
No, I agree. And I think that why I put it a little bit higher than what it was, because it can be different every time you ride it. I rode it a few times with the girls and I've come off of there completely dry. And I've also come out of there completely drenched. So it's not the same every single time. It's got a little bit of a variety. We all as a family like to see who's going to come out with. We could care less about the story. Like Dave said, the storyline is kind of haphazard now. It's just kind of background effects. It's nothing really. There's no real, you know, rhyme or reason to it. It's you know, it was supposed to be about conservation. I think we've talked about it before in a show, and it's really not there. It doesn't meet that mark whatsoever. So you have to look at it based on the enjoyment factor. And we always enjoy seeing like who in the family is going to get soaked. Or one of my favorite things is watching people on the ride that don't realize they're going to get soaked. You know, like people doing it for the first time and watching them get completely drenched, come off like drowned rats. That's one of our favorite things to do on that ride too. So that's why I gave it a little bit higher up than, you know, last place, because it can have some fun moments on it when you're on it. So it's got a little bit more of a fun factor than my other two that I had at the bottom.
That's funny too, man. Dave, you're saying that
Mike is correct. It's a little bit more of a spectator sport point of view. I used to tell people that I don't understand the algorithm, but I can tell you who's going to get wet. And they were like, and everybody would look at me and I'm like, it's whoever doesn't want to get wet. That's who's going to get soaked. And it's always, I stereotype, but it's the mom who is like I just don't want my hair to get wet. I don't want it all wet. Or it's the tourist from another culture who, yes, doesn't know what they have signed up for, and yes, is dressed inappropriately, and yeah, that's who's getting wet.
It's one of those things too that, you know, you mentioned it's like a 3 or 4 minute attraction. The first minute and a half is, there's nothing to it. You're going up, you're kind of going by the logs. It's minimalistic to me. I think it deserves to be last on this list. Is it good to do on a hot summer day? Sure. You know what I mean? Go get wet. You know, I don't get it, man. Katie wears jeans in the parks, even on summer days. Like she's just, I don't know why. And then she'll ride this and then have wet jeans the rest of the day and no care in the world. It does not bother her. If I get a speck of, and people have been with me at like HHN Nights of Fear. If I get a little bit of water in my shoes, I am a cranky, cranky person. I don't know how some people just are okay with discomfort, and I do not like that. I like to be taken care of and everything be perfect with my shoes and my pants and all that kind of stuff. I don't like to be wet. So it comes in last for me. Moving on. Number 9. This one comes in. It's got 5 more points. Number 9, number 8 were actually tied. And the way that I put it in 9 is it had the highest individual score from one of the hosts. One of the hosts actually gave this, 5 points. So it's up there a little bit. And that is 3 Caballeros coming in with 15 points. Mike, the great Grand Fiesta Tour starring the 3 Caballeros is an attraction that a lot of people forget about or just don't do whenever they visit Epcot. I kind of enjoy it.
I kind of enjoy it too. And I think it's kind of like a hidden gem. So, you know, if you're doing one of those days at Epcot, maybe you're waiting for, you know, one of your lightning lanes, maybe you got some time to kill, hop in there because like Living with the Land, one of the other, you know, attractions we're going to get to later, there's not usually a wait for this. I mean, it's usually pretty much of a walk on. And if the kids are getting kind of cranky and you need to take a little bit of a break or you're kind of waiting for something or a dining reservation, you got a little bit of time filler you got to do. I think it's great. I think it's a great, you know, ride. I think it's higher up than some of the other ones on the list. I think I had it at, you know, like 7th place. So I probably was contributing to giving a little bit more points than some other people. But another one, it's entertaining. It's slow. It's air conditioned. It's cool. It's a little bit of a break and it's usually not a wait. So I based it pretty much on that.
Dave, 1 point from you, buddy. 1 point.
It's fine. It's a fun little ride.
It's fine is the slur word of DDP.
It is. It's fine. It's a fun little ride. But here's the thing is nobody is going to Epcot exclusively to ride Grand Fiesta Tour featuring the 3 Caballeros. Like there are other things on this list that, that we're going to talk about that you get to that theme park and there is somebody in that family and that is their ride. Like that is the one thing that they want to do in Disney World. 3 Caballeros is never that answer ever. And that's why it came in last. Like for me, I gave it 1 point. I'll admit it. I'll stand here proud of it.
It helps to have the animatronics.
It has got slightly better.
It's gotten
right there
better
at the end.
Over time. Yes.
Yep. Yeah.
Like
so
when they,
brought them back from was it Tokyo?
I think so. Yeah.
It was one of those over there on the Asian continent where their ride or whatever they were in got, was it a show of some description where their animatronic was used and it was getting a refurb or reimagined and this animatronic was going away and they went, we'll take it. And they put it in over there in Epcot. So it has got slightly better, but yeah, like it's not, I always want to grab the balloon.
Oh yeah. 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 I know what you're
on the
about.
Left. And yeah. It's obviously made of metal or something. But it's just after they've discovered Donald and the Fiesta Hoy party is today kind of thing. And you're sailing there and there's the balloon on the side and you're like, that's not a balloon.
I can grab that.
Touch it.
What was I talking about? I was talking about Katie the other day. It was something
there's a pressure pad right there.
You know what I mean?
Do not get out
I know
of the
it
boat.
Wasn't even Disney related though. It was like just something in life. And I was like, just want to, you know what I mean? It's almost like,
yeah, no, it's like, the shiny red button.
I'm a super nice person, but almost sometimes, don't you just want to throw a stick in somebody's spokes on their bikes? You know what I mean? Like, yeah. As they're going by.
I get that on a daily basis.
Like, it's just, I don't have any ill will for the person, but it's just because I'm not supposed to do it. I don't know. Like,
I went to a Big Daddy reference where they're in the park. You in the park? They do for fun. Oh, stick.
The rollerbladers.
Yeah. Yeah, I get it. All right. That's pretty funny.
Just to give everybody an idea, we're going to move on to the next one because our Pina Colada drinking host, the great Joe Q, he gave this 5 points. So this had 5 points from Joe Q, way up on his list, loves 3 Caballeros, but he loves this one even more. He gave it 6.
Here's the thing. That means there were four other rides in this list that he put below Three Caballeros.
I can't wait for you to see them too. They're awesome. Coming in with another 15 points at number eight. And this is, oh, I'm sorry, Dave, you're the person who gave this one six. That is Navi River Journey, coming in at number eight on our list. Way, way up on your list there. Why is it just because the beauty? Is it because of the, one of the great animatronics? We found that out when we did our last episode, ranking the audio animatronics of Walt Disney World.
Yeah, I'll be real honest. I had a couple that I knew were going to be way up the top. I had a couple that were going to be way down the bottom for me. And then I had a few that were going to sit right there in the middle, and it was trying to figure out where they fell in that list. And Navi was one of those ones where I was like it's beautiful. The worst thing about Navi is the weight. If Navi had a better weight, like a better queue or a better way of loading people and a better, like, and they could keep that queue line down, Navi's got everything going for it. It's stunning. It's visually stunning. No, because that would change, like, there's already enough adventure in Pandora, the World of Avatar. You don't need the drop. Like, it's just this beautiful... It's visually resplendent, and I'm gonna stand by that. Like,
ooh, that is a...
and yeah, there's a big word for you.
Solid word.
And that that animatronic is, yes, breathtaking. Like the shaman, she will blow you away. Like the worst thing that can happen while you're on that ride is that you turn that corner and find out that it's in B mode and they've moved the, and you're like, oh, it's such a letdown, because yeah. That animatronic is amazing. So,
yeah, Mike, this came in last on your list.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of this. I've only done it a couple of times. To me, it's like a Blacklight Small World. I'm not a big fan of it.
Wow, Mike.
You know, it's one of those things where I like the attraction. I split you guys down the middle. It was a 3 points for me. I split you guys down the middle, and it's a beautiful attraction. It doesn't have, for me, you know, you kind of said adventures. I don't know, man. It's kind of monotonous and kind of is repetitive with some of the journey through the woods there.
Okay.
And also it's the thing is, look, it's a hard list, because I mean there's some iconic stuff coming up. So for me, I think it's right there at eight.
I love the bug log. You're on the boat and you're sailing along, and there's this like three-dimensional log, and then the projected images of the bugs crawling out of it and around it, and then they disappear and they start again. I've literally ridden this ride hundreds of times. I was there on opening day, and I just remember the interactiveness of the leaves in the ceiling. There's like four big leaves that are hanging in the ceiling, and they've got the animals that are jumping on them. And when they bounce up and down from one leaf to the next, the leaf moves. There's so many little details like that that just make my mouth go, oh my God, Al, who thinks of this? Loved it.
Moving on to number seven, this is our last one that is under 20 points. This will be our last one under 20 points. One of the most iconic sounds you can hear in Walt Disney World and in the Magic Kingdom. And that is, coming in with 18 points, the Liberty Square Riverboat. Look, for me, I love this. This is something that I do more often than not. I think it's a great break in the day. It is iconic. It is classic. It's just one of those things that I think everyone should try. Mike, this came in second to last on your list, so we'll go to you first, and then Dave and I'll talk it up.
I've never done it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Surprise, surprise. Oh, never done it.
It's got some great audio animatronics.
Never done it. Never been on it once.
Oh, put that on your list of things to do, because that's on the Patreon side. We're going to talk about some stuff that maybe some extras and stuff like that we want to still do. That we've never done before. So put that on your list. Dave, look, I really enjoy it. I really do.
I liked it. It was one of the, I think I was disappointed where this fell on my list, because there were a couple of other things that I bumped a little higher, and I was putting this one up and then putting that one up. And then I'm like, oh, and that means Liberty Bell goes all the way down here. And I think I even double checked it to see whether I could bump it higher and give it more points. But yeah, it's fun. It's cute. It's not exhilarating. Mm-hmm. Also, the timing of it can be weird. Like, if you just miss it, you're like, oh, now it's like 20 minutes until the next rotation, and that's not enough time to go and do Haunted Mansion, mm-hmm. Unless you have a lightning lane. So even then you're pushing it. But it is iconic. You'll be right there in the middle of Magic Kingdom and the sound of the Liberty Bell's whistle going off and all of that. Like, it is, yes, an iconic part of the Magic Kingdom.
Some of the best views of Big Thunder Mountain, some of the best views of the Haunted Mansion. If you want a really cool photo opportunity, go upstairs, be on the railing, and then when you make that turn right there with Big Thunder behind you, you make that turn with the Haunted Mansion right there. There's nothing in the way. It's you're elevated, so it's a unique view of the Haunted Mansion too, with where you are.
That's true.
Which I really do enjoy it. But I'll tell you this: our buddy Joe, this got 6 points for him, so he bumped this thing way up the list too. 6 points for Joe. For the Liberty Square Riverboats here. All right, coming in at number six, we are bumping the points up now. Coming in number six on our list of Walt Disney World's best boat rides, Frozen Ever After with 26 points. Frozen Ever After, 26 points. Dave?
Once again, I like this ride. I've got nothing against it. I stand by the fact that I think they did a great job reimagining this ride and putting it in. The Sven animatronics are some of my favorites, particularly when his Christmas story Sven, as mm-hmm. I like to call him, with his tongue stuck to the icicle post, and then he's making noises at you. Like, there's some great elements there. I enjoy the ride, but it got bumped down my list because there's things that are better than it. That's the unfortunate way of when we do this, you've got to make a choice on what the priority is.
I rank this the highest, Mike. I gave it 7 points. You gave it 5 though. And Dan gave it 6. So obviously it's high up on our list. I really enjoy it.
No, I think it's a good ride. And I think for the girls and the boys that like, you know, that are fans of the Frozen franchise, I think it's a fantastic ride for them. I do miss the original Maelstrom ride. That was one of the first things that I did with the kids. So it was, I'm not one of those keep the IPs out of, you know, Epcot kind of thing. I like that they're able to, you know, cater to some of the kids that want to do it. But it's one of those things that when my kids were little, it was one of those things that they wanted to do all the time, and now that they're older, it's kind of like, yeah, it's a cool boat ride. So I think it fits a specific niche when it comes to the kids, kind of like going to the Arcachars, you know, going to the actual Princess Dinners. Once they've kind of outgrown that a little bit, maybe you're not going to, you know, try and get that lightning lane for that as quickly as possible, like you normally would. Kids outgrow a little bit. Great ride. They did a good job with the, you know, with the refurbishment of it. It's entertaining. If you're even a slightly bit of a Frozen fan, it's worth doing a few times. But I think the consistency of doing it over and over and over, if the kids aren't into it anymore, can kind of get played out a little bit.
For me, it's one of two things. One, I think they did a really good job. I wanted to really dislike this attraction. I when they were replacing Maelstrom, it's classic Epcot. I didn't want to like it. They did a really great job with an existing ride track that was already there. I mean, they did a good job telling the story. So,
yeah. And for any of our listeners that have not worked their way through all, how many episodes of this have we done now?
336, I think this is.
So
just
if you haven't listened
show,
to,
not all the
like
extras,
a,
you know?
A year or so ago, about a little over a year ago, we did an entire episode just about this attraction. And and it was actually a really fun way to learn about some of the history of the ride. I remember being surprised by some of the things I learned in that. So if you haven't listened to the Frozen Ever After episode of DDP today, go back and do that now. Well, not right now. Finish listening to this episode and then go back and do it.
It's funny when people find the show. We've had some people recently have found the show, and I have some clients that are going, and I'm excited for them. They've got their dining coming up. And I just begged him. I'm like, please don't start episode one. Like, start here and work your way backwards. Like, don't start no, 7 years ago.
There's a growth journey.
You do hear the growth. You do. And you hear, like, personal journeys and all that, too. So,
yeah.
I don't know, man. But no, then again, it's like.
Listen to, like, a solid, like, the most recent 20 episodes so that you get a feel for what it's going to be. And then go back to square one and start and be like, oh yeah, this did change a little. But
there's definitely a lot of Jay Brilliance in there and some amazing
points
that he puts out. You can't miss out on some of the Jay episodes.
Yeah, there was some really, really great ones. So Frozen Ever After, it's iconic. I don't do it a lot anymore just because of the weight. That's a big thing. And also, and another thing is this, I don't get Genie Plus for Epcot. Like, I just don't. Like, very, very rarely would I do that. Pretty much try to get a lightning or try to get a virtual queue for Guardians. You know, if I want to pay for Lightning Lane, I'll do that. But the rest of the time, I can go ride Figment. I can go ride Spaceship Earth. I can go ride Nemo. I can get that stuff done. But Epcot's just got so much more to offer that I'm not going to wait an hour to do Frozen Ever After. I'm just not going to do it. Yep. So that's why it's definitely not higher on my list. This next one, we're getting into top five. I want to have a conversation about because I'm a little surprised it's as high as it is because none of us have ridden it yet.
Mm.
And it's the only attraction on here that is not opened. It comes in with 27 points and that is Tiana's Bayou Adventure. We know what the ride system is. We have seen images of what the storyboard's going to look like. We do know that we're going from a ton of animatronics to very, very few. But coming at number five, Tiana's Bayou Adventure, Dave.
So here's the thing. Is when they created Frozen Ever After, I've only just put this thought together in my head, so give me a second with this, okay? When they created Frozen Ever After, they changed the load area and they gutted everything. Mm-hmm. And there is almost no evidence of the Maelstrom ride that is there. When they created, there's a good one. When they created Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway,
mm-hmm.
they gutted that building.
Guardians.
Tore it to pieces. And when you ride Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway, there is zero evidence of what used to be the great movie ride. It's still going to be Splash Mountain.
You're riding Splash Mountain. Like it's
still going to be Splash. So, and here's
any of it.
So, and I think we're excited for that, which is why it's sat where it is on the list. And it might even end up of being going higher a year from now when it's open and we've all know what it is to compare it to. But because Splash Mountain was such a good ride and the ride function is going to be the same. Here's the thing about me saying it's still going to be Splash Mountain is not an insult. That's actually a good thing because like there was nothing that needed to change about that. So I still love the fact that the acronym for it based on the name is going to be TBA. That still makes me smile every time I read Tiana's Bayou Adventure.
Yeah.
Is that it's to be advised. We'll wait and see.
We'll see what happens. Mike, you and I both gave the six points. Dan gave it 9. He is like stoked for this. But let me go and tell you why it didn't rank higher is because Joey Q gave it 1. He is like, you touch Splash Mountain, I'm coming for your throat. Like he's
you are dead to me.
Mike, you and I have a similar idea, I think, about this.
Yeah, I think obviously the track system is going to be the same. You know, when we were just talking about a couple minutes ago about Frozen being, you know, rethemed from, you know, from Maelstrom, pretty much the ride itself is the same. So I'm kind of expecting the same thing when it comes to the drops, the thrills, the water ride. A lot of that's going to be the same. I'm expecting some really cool animatronics for the ones that we are going to get. So I'm kind of looking forward to that. I do think that, you know, the thrills of the Splash Mountain, the amount of drops that you have, the big drop at the end, that's all going to be the same. So when it comes to the actual water ride, not knowing that how exactly the theme is going to be, I think this fits right in the middle of where it is. Once we start riding it, we'll see if we like it or not. You know, I think it's going to be really good. I think it's going to be extremely popular when it first comes out. Obviously, it's going to be a huge hit, so it should be fun.
Let's move on to number four.
Wait, real quickly.
Yeah.
Is Joe Q organizing a protest for opening day?
I mean, literally, dude, I'm looking at some of his list here, and it's really funny to look at.
I picture him standing on the bridge waving a banner until security is like, take it down.
Dave and myself and Mike, we all put it right in the middle. 5-6-6, yeah. Right? It's right there in the middle. We don't know. We don't have like a thought against it, but we also don't know, you know, where we're going to be. Put it right in the middle right there, right? And then you get the polar opposites. Dan's like wearing Tianu's Bayou Adventure shirts and has a, you know, he's dancing around and, you know, has
like he's already bought them the popcorn bucket. He's got it all. Riding the ride with it. Yeah.
That's how he goes to bed every night. You know what I mean? Like he listens to soundtrack, you know, all that kind of stuff. Whereas Joe is like throwing eggs at this attraction. I mean, he's just like.
You know who Joe is? You know who Joe is? Joe is the woman from the Splash Mountain picture where she's riding it looking grumpy, like flatline mouth going. We all know that what that means.
I love it though, man. Yeah. Joey's like, I stand by it. I will stand by it right now. It's a one and that's what it's going to be. I like
stay
it.
Stay there.
Stay there. Let's move on to number four on our list. Again, this is really the iconic stuff whenever you start thinking about it. Coming in at 33 points. To give you an idea, Cali River Rapids had 10. This has 33 points. It's an iconic one. It's a small world. Look, one of the starts to everything that we have today. I don't think we have what we have without this attraction. Whenever you talk about the World's Fair and you talk about the popularity of audio animatronics, you know, growing at the time, Walt Disney really innovating. I think it's really a huge benefit to the Magic Kingdom. Just to give you an idea of where the three of us stand, Dave, you gave it an 8, I gave it a 5, Mike gave it a 7, so it's at least in all of our top kind of 5-6 in that range. Dave, what are you thinking?
It is iconic, it is a fixture, and I've said it before on this show, I think that hating It's a Small World is one of those things that some people do just so they feel cool in Disney circles, that they almost say that they hate it just to be able to say that they hate it. It's an important message. With everything going on in the world, and without getting political and or anything like that, with wars and invasions and strife in countries all over the world, and two in particular that you can't have an opinion one way or the other without upsetting somebody because everybody is right and everybody is yet simultaneously wrong, just terrible things going on in the world. It's a really important message that the Disney company and Walt Disney in particular was talking about 60 something years ago. And we still can't figure it out, people. It's one of those things that I'm always blown away by the messaging of it, the simplicity of the message and the importance of the message. So, definitely something that I always come back to whenever I ride it, and I love it. So also, if you've never ridden this with me, you should ride this with me. I have an entire subplot and description of countries that I like to do while riding around it. It's kind of fun.
You know, the thing is like, you need to, I think, in there was this great story.
And here is this week's Simpsons reference.
There was this great story about this elementary school, and they went and they represented the Model UN, and they all got on a bus, and there was this little kid named Martin, and he would dance. He represented Finland at the time, and it was really an important message for the kids to be able to say it's a small world, even though the reason it was a big story is the bus crashed. And then they kind of had a Lord of the Flies moment where they thought other kids ate the food and stuff like that. But it's one of those things that, you know, if you could have, you know, like a Finland, like a Martin, and that shows that we can all come together and dance, just like in It's a Small World. We can bring all the countries together and dance. You think it's really important. Mike, don't you agree?
Oh, I agree. I agree. I completely agree. And I can see where that's coming from. More ways than one. Small World, I'm not a Small World hater by any means. I put it on the top of my list. It made, I think, at the top five for me. I don't consider a Disney vacation complete if I don't ride Small World. If I look back at all the vacations that I did with the kids, I think there was one year, I can't remember the exact year, I'd have to look up when the refurbishment was, when it was closed down for a while. And it was, you know, it wasn't something we were able to do during our time. And I kind of felt like my trip wasn't complete. And I feel like it's got to be one of those things that I do. I'm so glad that we got to do it out in Disneyland, you know, the Small World out there, get to see a little bit of a bigger version of it. I love it. I think it's great. It's one of the, you see a lot of times when you go around Disney, there's always places where, you know, people make wishes and they, you know, they throw coins into the water. I always have to do that on a trip. And that's someplace that I always throw coins in the water. I have to make sure if I'm going on that trip, I have some kind of coins in my water, coins in my pocket, and I always throw them into there, because I know, like, conservation wise, you shouldn't throw coins in water, but it's Small World, it's kind of accepted. And I know the money, I believe, gets, you know, collected for, you know, charities, whatever, but that's just one of those places that I've always made a wish. So I feel like I have to go on that ride every trip, and I have to make a wish when I'm on the trip. So that's just been kind of my tradition. So when I don't get to do it, I kind of feel like I'm out of place.
Geez, cheapskate, I've been throwing 50s in there, just watching them float. So, yeah, look, it's iconic. It's classic. It's kind of the birth of a lot of audio animatronics that we get. And like you said, Disneyland one is incredible. Absolutely love it. Let's move on to number three. This is one of my all-time favorites. And a lot of people, if you are not a big Disney fan, would say, this is boring. Why are you guys have it as your number three? And we're heading over to Epcot. Living with the Land coming in at number three. Mike, I think this is one of your absolute favorites.
It's a sleeper, man. I mean, it's like three Caribbean hours. There's never really a long wait. It's usually pretty much a walk-on. It's a nice long ride. The animation that you get behind it when they talk about, you know, all of the different, you know, plants and, you know, nature stuff that you get to see. It's kind of like a little bit of a learning experience. It can be different sometimes when you go through different times in the year. They have it decorated differently. They have different kinds of plants out. I love Living with the Land. It's probably one of our top five Disney rides that we must do, especially in Epcot. I mean, we always make sure we do it. It's a great break if you're kind of waiting to get on Soarin', or if you just got off Soarin'. Like I said, there's usually never a wait. The ride itself is really cool. It's educational. It's quiet. It's slow. And it's usually pretty air-conditioned, too. So I enjoy doing that. It's one of my favorite things to do. And I think that if you haven't done Living with the Land, you're really missing out.
Here we go. Dave, you gave it a 7. Dan gave it a 7. Joe gave it a 9. Tells you where Joe is. Joe's like, Tiana, 1. Living with the Land. Show me the gross stuff. Give you a 9. I gave it a 9. And Mike gave it an 8. This is way up there, Dave.
It is, for good reason. And so on the flip side, okay, if hating It's a Small World is one of those things that people do just for some Disney chops, Living with the Land is the flip of that. And that's actually how you know a real Disney fan.
Yeah, if like, I agree. Oh, 100%.
Because if you're a fake Disney fan, like you haven't ridden this ride and you don't want to, and you're like, why? It's got a 5-minute wait. Why would I go on this? Whereas once you've ridden it, once you appreciate it, if you listen to this podcast, I really hope you love this ride, because yeah, like
otherwise you're FDF.
You might be in the wrong place. Yeah. I don't actually know what that is. Anyway,
fake Disney fan.
There you go. Okay, yeah. Is that a hashtag at the moment, or is that a
no?
Thing,
I don't know. I just came up with it just now when you said
all
fake
right,
Disney.
Cool.
Fan.
Justin Sudo trying to get things trending. Okay. Yeah. Stop trying to make fetch happen. Okay.
I'm just trying to get myself off number three when I Google up to like number two, at least, you know, with FDF.
All right. We'll yeah. Okay. That's not a thing. Anyway, but yeah, like it is, it's a great ride. It's got, once again, an important message. And there's some really cool things that you can learn there. It's a great way to see those greenhouses. If you've never done Behind the Seeds, also go and do that tour. Awesome.
Yeah, so a couple things. One, the reason I think that this attraction for me stands so high is because it is what Epcot was originally meant to be. And you don't get a lot of those moments inside Walt Disney World anymore, which I understand. I mean, look, when I was a kid, I probably would've been like, why in the heck am I riding this boat to see how they grow gourds? I just don't care. You know what I mean?
Right.
But whenever you sit back and you take in the attraction, you kind of learn that, hey, they're not just like, this isn't just showing you how they do something. They're feeding you while you're on property with an attraction. That's wild, man. That is wild. The fact that your fish is coming from there. Like, there's a lot of stuff coming from inside that attraction that is amazingly cool. And look, whenever you go into the dome, Dave, I'd only been inside the dome through the attraction. But when I did my Run Disney event, you know, running behind there where the dome is, like,
yeah,
just the shape of the building is unique and fun and cool. And like, it reminds me, there was this great documentary called Biodome, and these two guys went into this dome and they snuck in and they lived there for a year, and they had to learn a hard lesson because they went in, they messed up the environment, everything was dying, and then they learned the hard lesson that, hey, we have to work together, and they brought it back. Really, really great documentary. You can look it up, Biodome. So you can check that out. I think it's a huge I think it's a great attraction. I think it's one of those that if you go to Disney, this is one that, you know, you can't complain about the wait. It's going to be 10 minutes or less, and go and enjoy it. I mean, it's kind of hidden, you know, a lot of people don't even know it's there.
Right.
They go straight to Soar and they just skip it. I'm going to go ahead and say it out loud. You ready? Living with the Land, better than Soarin'. It's the best attraction in that building.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Especially since the curved screens.
Yeah.
You love the Eiffel Tower looking all like a croissant. I don't know. I do love Soarin'.
I love Soarin'. Living with the Land's better.
Wow.
Especially at Christmas.
I don't think I'm willing to ostracize people with this by joining this statement. I'm gonna be Switzerland right now. All right,
you're over Martin just dancing.
Just me and Finland. We're refusing to make.
I got you. All right, let's move on. I mean, look, there's two left.
Top two.
And if we were to say any of these weren't top two, then I think maybe the DDP would have come after us. But what comes in second and what comes in first? Coming in at number two, with a whopping 43 points. To give you an idea, Cali River Rapids had 10, 43 points. So getting pretty close to a perfect score. We get the Olympics coming up. You know what I mean? This is nice. The Jungle Cruise coming in at number two. Mike, this is an awesome attraction. This is one of those that I think every Disney fan needs to do. One of the classic lines of any attraction, it's the backside of water. I mean, this is a iconic attraction that Walt Disney personally had his hands on.
Yeah, I actually had this as my number one, not my number two. And I love Pirates. Pirates is probably one of my favorite rides. When I looked at it, when it came to like cruise wise and necessity of being in a boat, I weighed in Jungle Cruise being a little bit higher than Pirates. I think you could do a Pirates attraction without doing the boat ride. I think Jungle Cruise needs to be in a boat. So I kind of went with that because it was really hard to pick between the two of them. I mean, I was really tossed between which one am I picking as my number one, because obviously they're my two best boat rides ever. They're two iconic Disney rides. And I felt like you could probably get away with Pirates if you did it on, you know, I don't know, some other kind of, you know, like motion ride, like similar to, you know, like a dark ride kind of car. But I think that Jungle Cruise has to be in a boat. So that's why I went with that as my number one. But it obviously landed in the number two spot. But that's where I am. But it's a fantastic cruise.
Finland and Denmark here. You guys are both like, you know, on the same team. Go ahead there, Dave.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm jumping in right now. And here's what upsets me is that I know that I also put it as my number one. That means between Mike and I, we gave it 20 of its 43 points. And I feel like this was a group project where we both contributed the correct amount and somebody else didn't do their part of the group project and let down our overall score. Who messed this up?
You want to know where everybody stood?
Okay, I demand to know.
All right, so you two had 10, perfect score. Dan and I both had 8. To give you an example, Dan's number 9 was Tiana. Remember that? And my number 9 was Living with the Land. Joe gave it a 7. So Joe above this had Living with the Land, It's a Small World, and of course, what's going to be coming in at number 1.
Joe is dead to me.
He really has been the wrecking ball of this thing.
You're letting the team down, Joe.
Why do we even let him on this one?
Joe, what? What? Go and sit in the corner. This is the iconic Disney attraction, as you said, with the fingerprint, thumbprint, palm print, the all of the identifying factors that is Walt Disney all over this ride. Like, this ride changed the layout of Disneyland Park. Like, it has shaped what we know as a Disney theme park. Like, it was meant to be on the other side and then they switched it. I'm sure I've mentioned it before it's like Justin retelling a Simpsons joke. We're not going down that path again. But this is iconic. And don't get me wrong, I love what we're about to talk about. And everybody knows what we're about to talk about that did come in as number 1. And I'm not upset that but this was my number 1 for that reason. Like, not only is it an actual boat ride that has to be a boat ride because it's Jungle Cruise, but there's that interactive element of the skipper, and the skipper makes this ride. Like, now the skipper can also break this ride and it happens every so often. And I actually had somebody in a training class the other day who was sitting in my training class, and we're on day 2 of training, and we're talking about things that we've done. And she mentions that she used to be over in Adventureland, and I stopped and I looked at her and I went, "You were a Jungle Cruise skipper. I've been on your boat." Like, yeah. And that was years ago. And I still remember her, like, from that moment. I'm like, yeah, I've talked to you.
Was she good?
She was great.
Okay.
Good. So, yeah. And that's why she now works at my hotel. So, and that's why I was really happy to have her training to go into her role. But yeah, like, I mean, the Jungle Cruise skipper makes that role. Very rarely do you get a bad one. And even when you do get a bad one, sometimes they can be so bad that they are then great again. Okay. Like, there's just so much to recommend this ride on. Like, there's that moment where they're so bad and you're like, I could do a better job. And then you just go, but they're so terrible that this is still a whole lot of fun. So,
you know what, for me, it's not even the skipper that controls the boat. It's the passengers on the boat. Like, if you get a fun boat, then that can be an experience that you've never had before. If everyone's buying in and having fun. But then you get on those boats sometimes, and obviously they're not Disney fans. They maybe go once every 10 years. They just don't understand.
Or if there's a language barrier.
Yeah,
Or they don't get the comedy aspect of it. They don't get the sarcasm of it.
Right.
Like, yeah, or they thought it was going to be real animals. Definitely had that happen before. Yeah. I've had that. If you get past the monarch butterflies, and they don't understand why the monarch butterflies are the rulers of the jungle, you're like, oh, this is gonna be
a long one.
Yeah. This is gonna be a long trip. Like, if you get past Inspiration Falls, and okay, so Inspiration Falls is my guide stick for the skipper. The monarch butterflies are my yardstick for the guests. Because as a skipper, if you can't sell me on that, if you look at it long enough, it will inspire you to go deeper and deeper into the jungle. like, it's all about that pause and then the completion of the line. Like, that is an iconic part of that ride for me. Like, you have to be able to hit that joke. And if you can't, I'm out. I've clocked out. I can do a better job.
It's fantastic. I mean, I think really with these last two, they could be interchanged, but we've mentioned it now. Coming in at number one, near perfect score, boys. 48 points coming from this, and the 2 points that it's missing come from you two, and that is Pirates of the Caribbean, another a classic attraction that Walt Disney had his hand on. This is one of those that when people think of the Magic Kingdom, they think of Space Mountain, they think of the castle, they think of Haunted Mansion, and I think they think of Pirates before they think of Jungle Cruise. I just do for your average Disney fans. It'll be interesting for the DVP to put out, you know, how they feel about this. But Pirates is it's a long attraction. It tells a great story. The story stood the test of time. It's been a fan favorite for as long as anyone can remember. Has one of the biggest franchises in movie history based on it. And that is something that the Jungle Cruise reluctantly has not done yet. I did enjoy Jungle Cruise with The Rock and Emily Blunt. But I mean, it is a iconic classic attraction there in the Magic Kingdom. Mike, I mean, you gave it a 9. It's right there.
It's my favorite ride of all time. I mean, it's
how'd you,
you
put
know,
it?
I talked
how'd
about
you,
going.
How'd you put it?
Because I based it on if you would have done that ride, if it was a moving car, you could still get, didn't have to be in a boat. And I felt like Jungle Cruise had to be a boat. I felt like, I don't know, I just felt like Jungle Cruise was a better told story being, you know, on the water. I felt like you could tell the pirate story, not having to be in the water. I mean, yeah, it obviously adds to it, and it's a fantastic, you know, addition to that, to, you know, to be on your little cruise going through the pirate, you know, through the Caribbean. But I just feel like Jungle Cruise is more important as a water ride than it was Pirates. I think if you did a, you know, like a similar type of car ride, like the Doom Buggies in Haunted Mansion, you could probably still pull off the Haunted, you could probably still pull off the Pirates ride, but I think Jungle Cruise had to be a boat ride. That's the only reason why. That was my only deciding factor between the two.
Dave?
I understand and appreciate I understand and appreciate everything that you said. Nothing that you said was incorrect. But I might have been making rude gestures at you the entire time you were talking because, like, yeah, you're right. It is. But I just love Jungle Cruise over this. I do appreciate what you said about that it spawned an entire franchise of movies, which is almost inarguably the best franchise of movies to come out of an attraction.
Yes,
100%. Because other than maybe Muppet Haunted Mansion.
Did you see the new Haunted Mansion? I didn't hate it.
Yeah. Like, but fine. They've had 3 goes at it now. Like,
there it is. Yeah, it's fine.
They may as well eventually get good at it. Like, and yes, I did really enjoy Jungle Cruise with The Rock. So, but yeah, no, there's no denying the importance of Pirates of the Caribbean. Once again, an iconic Walt Disney attraction. That nearly was a walk-through wax museum.
Mm-hmm.
Like to Mike's point, it nearly was a different type of ride. The boat ride makes it though. So it's awesome. I agree with its standing, but I'm still annoyed at its standing. So yeah, I can't be that upset, really.
Well, there it is. Coming in at number one, the top of the list is Pirates of the Caribbean. It is one of those great attractions, but all these are really, really great, except for the bottom ones. And you got to check them out on your next time at Walt Disney World.
Really sorry.
Really, really sorry, Callie.
Really sorry.
With your measly 10 points. That was such an embarrassment, dude.
For anybody, but really quickly, for anybody who is playing along at home, between Justin and I, that's actually a deep cut Simpsons reference. I know you and I both got it, but yeah, I'm so sorry. The only person we don't know, we are really sorry, is left-handed people. Maybe not. Let's actually do our job.
You know, a lot of these rides, especially the ones in the top, they have some fantastic photo opportunities because they have those, you know, when you get off the ride, you see your photo of you going down, you know, the first drop in Pirates, or, you know, if you're on some of the other rides, you get those in-ride photo stuff. And a lot of people like to share those in-ride photo stuff on our DDP Facebook page because we have some amazing pictures on that page. And I love looking at those pictures. And it brings me to my favorite thing every week, and that would be Picks of the Week.
Picks of the Week. Picks of the Week. It's time for us to get our picks of the week.
All right, guys, my favorite thing every week, and that's Picks of the Week. Dave, it's been quite a while since you've been on the show and be able to share your Picks of the Week. So why don't you go first and give me your first pick of the week?
Yes, I get to go first. This is exciting. All right, so I actually have an honorable mention because it made me giggle. It made me laugh. Lindsay Nicole posted a picture of her in Animal Kingdom right near the Tree of Life garden, and she's got her Starbucks in hand, and her caption said, "I don't know what happened. I just went out to get a cup of coffee." And I think we've all done that, where we just went to go and get one thing, and we wound up in a Disney park. Like, it's happened before. And that actually brings me to my actual nominee for Pick of the Week, because when this posted, I was already on the app seeing if it was available for me to jump into a Disney theme park to see if I could help out, because Brandon Bignall made a post regarding his daughter, I believe, was headed to Mexico. Just his wife, daughter and son were headed to Mexico. He dropped them off at the airport, and while they were going through security, the TSA agent took the weighted Lotso bear, which I think means that it has like a little bit of extra like weighting in its stomach area to give it a little bit more oomph, and apparently said that it wasn't allowed to go through security, which I completely understand. There are rules for these things, and those rules exist for a reason. But the tragedy of it was that this TSA agent, by my understanding of the post, decided to throw the Lotso bear in the trash in front of the child. What is wrong with you?
I'm furious, dude. When I read this, I had literal just anger inside. And I think a lot of the DDP did too.
They did. Like, in a very short space of time, it had more than 20 comments. And it's actually the reason I actually posted a second comment about this post, which I'm going to read, because there were two camps that read this post and commented on it. And I said, I love the comment section, the comment thread of this post, and it's what I love about our DDP Today podcast family on Facebook. And I said, from the outrage to the problem solving, I love it all, because there were people who had their pitchforks in hand and were ready to raise hell. And then there was people going, I'm going to be in a park in a week. Like, let's figure this out. I believe, from what I could gather from the section, that Katie Brenning definitely needs a shout out, because was in Hollywood Studios that day, went into Andy's backyard and started sourcing options, and apparently solved the problem, so that soon after the little one gets back from Mexico, Brandon's daughter will have a weighted stuffed Lotso bear waiting and arriving at the house. So problems solved by DDP Today, but also ready to hang, draw, and quarter a TSA agent for doing their job as well. So.
Such a bad rap all the time.
They do, don't they? We need Joe Quad on here to defend them.
I don't think Joe can defend a lot tonight. That's just
He doesn't have legs to stand on right now. His opinions don't count.
Very cool pick. Justin,
is my pick of the week.
Justin, what's your pick of the week?
Yeah, I'm gonna go with Cammy over on our Patreon page. She said two DDP pages in one. DDP, of course, the Sorcerer's Running Family. If you're not joining that, of course, go join that right away, because a great place of positivity where we cheer each other on no matter where you're at in your journey. Click that link below and join that. And of course, we, as this episode comes out, we have one more day. If you're listening on the patron side, one more day till registration with one more dawn. I know, Dave, I can't. I just had to. the for registration for Wine and Dine. So we will have a Zoom up for that. Patron family, if you're listening right now on the day at 9:30 a.m. to do with that. But she also said 2D page one, the Sorcerer's Running Family, and the Disney drinks with the DDP over there. Homemade cookies, a good local brew, and my pre-ordered Run Disney guide came in. My introverted self is in heaven. Absolutely love it. Hanging with your buddy there and reading a little Run Disney while having a great drink. That is everything that is perfect about an afternoon with the DDP and with the DDP family. So love that.
Very cool. Great pick. My pick of the week is going to go to somebody who's very near and dear to our DDP family. She's been around for a long time, her and her husband. And that's Jenna Ramey. And Jenna Ramey's got some excitement. She's got her daughter's first Disney trip. We've been following along with the Ramey trips for a very, very long time. They've been a huge part of our DDP family. We love the Ramey family. We've been watching their kids grow up. I mean, we've been on cruises together. We've been on vacations together. They're such a great family. And I'm looking forward to seeing even more pictures of when their daughter gets to see her first time in Disney. And Jenna, you have my pick of the week.
Absolutely love it. Boys, lots of fun talking about the top 10 boat rides of Walt Disney World. There's lots of attractions that you can enjoy from the water inside of a boat. And I think we got our list pretty close to where we all would agree it needs to be. So lots of fun there. DDP patron, hang on. We're going to be talking a lot over there about things that we still want to do at Walt Disney World. There's a lot of things that I want to do, and we're going to catch up with each other there on the patron side as well. So if you want to join the patron family, join with that link right below, and you can get the extra bonus show. You can get the extra Facebook group. We do all kinds of fun stuff like trivia and all that good stuff. So you can always support the show. That way it keeps the show commercial free as well, which we appreciate you. So really, really fun. Boys, let's close this thing up. Mike, come to you first.
Yeah, listen, I had a great time. Dave, it's fantastic seeing you on the show tonight. I missed you very much, brother. It's always a fun time having you on. I'm so glad that I got to be able to relax tonight, unwind, hang out with my Disney family, and then looking forward to the next couple of days off. So great talking with some boat rides with you guys, and I am certainly looking forward to Patreon.
Absolutely love it, Dave.
Hey, a good fun episode discovering some of my very strongly held opinions on particular rides. You can always count on me for that. And it's just good to be back. I've missed being able to have a chat and excited to be part of it. Yeah.
Love it. DDP family, have an amazing week. Spread some cheer. Be the best version of yourself. And until next time, we will see you real soon. Have a good night, everybody.
Have a good night.
Cheers.
On behalf of the Disney Dads, we want to say thank you. We hope you find a little magic in your life every day, spread some Disney love, and keep moving forward.
And they all lived happily ever after. Each of us has a dream, a heart's desire. It calls to us. And when we're brave enough to listen and bold enough to pursue, that dream will lead us on a journey to discover who we're meant to be. All we have to do is look inside our hearts and unlock the magic within.
Ready to begin, let the wonder
take... And that's a wrap.
There it is.
This has been YDF Media Productions.